Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carolina Wrestling Live Radio. I'm your host, James Shaver. And tonight, my special guest is Baron Bullard. Joy Nugs has the night off tonight, so no Nugs tonight. But I do have Baron Bullard as a special guest tonight, and he is standing by now. Baron Bullard, welcome to Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, this weekend you have a big show in Snow Hill with High Velocity Wrestling. Tell us about that.
Yes, this weekend they're crowning their first ever tag team champions in High Velocity, but I'm going to be in singles action. I was originally supposed to be wrestling Timmy Lou Retton, but I think the plans may be changed to where I'm taking on the heavyweight champion Dave Dawson now. So it's going to be a good show. A lot of great guys there. Like I said, Timmy Lee Ritten will be there. Dave Dawson.
Okay, cool. And you're also involved in with AML Wrestling up in Winston-Salem as well?
Yes, that's right. Because they're taking the month of December off. And their next show will be at the Winston-Salem Fairgrounds, January 30th. They've got a bunch of big things coming up. You know, the Heat Seekers just won their first ever AML tag team titles. So a lot of bunch of new tag titles popping up on the scene here recently. So it's an exciting time for independent wrestling.
All right, tell us about your involvement with AML Wrestling.
Well, my involvement, I'm almost involved in a little bit of everything. You know, I'm the, like I joke and tell people, I'm one of the first guys to get there. I'm one of the last to leave. Me, myself, D-Mac, and Zane Dawson were part of the George South guys. You know, we don't do the pretty stuff. We don't do nothing fancy. We just get there, ain't afraid to get our hands dirty. And we got George South Jr. with us now. We ain't afraid to get our hands dirty, and we like to fight. You know, we don't do the fancy, pretty stuff. We do wrestling. We fight ugly, and we win uglier.
Cool. And you were also involved in a show in Concord with EWA as well. Tell us about how you did over there in Concord.
Yes, that was this past Friday. It was a big benefit show for some students that went to the school. I wrestled in a tag match with one of George's new students who has had but maybe 5 or 6 matches, who had done pretty good, and we took on the school teacher and a police officer from that area. So it was a pretty good turnout. I mean, raised a lot of money. Ricky Steamboat was there. I mean, it wasn't a show that we did, you know, to put on a 5-star show, or it was a show for a good cause where we just went out there and had fun. We wasn't going out there trying to set the world on fire, having a Daniel Bryan, CM Punk style match. We were just trying to go out there and entertain the kids and raise money for a good cause.
Okay, and for those people who do not know who Baron Bullard is, tell the people out there, who is Baron Bullard? What is the persona of Baron Bullard?
Well, the persona is very simple. I respect anybody that has a gimmick and whatever, but I go out there, and like I've been called the Pembroke Pitbull, I don't go out there barking, I don't wear no dog collar or carry around chains and all this. When I say I'm a pit bull, I go in there intense. I plan on don't letting nobody out wrestle me, and I consider that ring my yard. It doesn't matter if it's six sides, four sides. It doesn't matter if it's in Concord. It doesn't matter if it's in Hickory. It doesn't matter if Winston-Salem, West Virginia, Florida, Georgia, wherever. When I step in that ring, I feel that's my yard, and I'm the top dog. That yard. I mean, I don't do a lot of fancy stuff. You won't see me doing many springboards. I can do it if I want, but I look at it like this. I'm in there to fight. I'm in there to win and prove I'm the best in that rink.
What are some of the moves or some of your favorite moves that you like to use in your arsenal?
Well, that's the thing. I ain't going to say I have any favorite moves. I use moves to get the job done. For a while, for about 2 years, I actually used a heart punch because nobody used for a while. And I don't use a heart punch now. I'm one I'm steadily involving. Like I said, very rarely will you see me go through top rope, or very rarely will you see me hit a springboard, but I use something that people aren't familiar with. I might use an inside grapevine, which a lot of guys who don't know. I may do a double wrist lock, or, you know, you never know what I'll do, but I'm one, I try to keep evolving, do something different that somebody's not seeing. I may stick to a lot of the basics, working a body part or whatever, but like the old saying, keep it simple and the basics always win regardless. You don't have to go out there trying to do a million flips and this and that. I mean, it only takes one punch, one good shot to knock the person out. You don't have to do a million fancy things. It's the one that you don't see coming that gets you.
Okay, and you trained under George South, is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Okay, what was that like, training under George South?
It was very informative. You know, you learn ring psychology. You learn when and why to do stuff. Because I had previously trained before with TNA in Nashville in 2004, and I learned a lot of the high flying and springboard stuff, but I didn't know when to do it and why to do it. And then when I went and trained with George, I realized a lot of this springboard stuff and high flying and dives I really didn't need, because I learned when and why to do some things. I can get the same reaction with a headlock or top wrist lock than I can with a tope con halo. So a lot of these young guys get upset, think I'm knocking them or whatever because they do flips. I can do the same thing you're doing. I just choose not to, because I know when and why to do these things. It's like I tell people all the time, it's like a kid. If you give a kid everything it wants right away, which is also referring to the fans, if you give them everything you want, what's their motivation to come back? You got to know when and why to do things. So I learned psychology from George. I learned the proper way. I learned respect. And then the thing with training with George, you never know who would come to class and train. Ric Flair came by his class for a few months. He would come, him, Ricky Steamboat, Bobby Eaton, Al Snow would come by, Terry Funk, Barbarian. You never know. And all these guys is giving you little pieces of advice and helping out stuff that, you know, you would never think of. I mean, it's the smallest things that the most minute things that people don't realize to make stuff a whole lot better. But nowadays.
All right, and so how long have you been in the business? Hey, Baron, did you hear my question? Okay, apparently I have lost Baron Bullard. The call has dropped. I will tell you about some. Okay, he is back.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome back.
Yeah, I must have lost signal. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, welcome back. So how long have you been in the business?
9 years steady. Like, I started in 2004.
9 years steady.
Yeah, 9 years steady. And I started in 2004 and took some time off. And I don't count that because I hear guys say all the time how long they've wrestled and you go by how many matches you had. I know guys that tell me they've wrestled 20 years and I've had 10 times the matches they have. So I'm going to just say I've wrestled 9 years steady. You know, I do this every week.
Okay, I remember you being a member of the Black Skull Army. Is this group still together?
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, just this past weekend, three of us was in Princeton, West Virginia. You know, and the Black Skull Army group, it's a little bit larger than the George South guys, but it's very similar in the whole attitude and purpose. You know, George South guys, George's took under his wing. But Skull Army guys is guys that's real-life friends. We all got each other's phone numbers. It ain't no, you know, promoter didn't put us together. He didn't say this would be a great idea. It was just a group of friends that got tired of being overlooked and tired of politics. And, I mean, I don't mean this from a gimmick-wise. I mean, this is a straight-up real-life shoot. We got tired of seeing guys that got pushed down people's throats, put on posters just because they look better on a poster or look better in their underwear. And what was it? We could have went and got some of our friends that's getting booked all over the place that was all ripped and had the pretty boy persona. But if you look at the guys in the Black Skull Army, you aren't going to ever see any of us on GQ magazine or anything like that. I mean, this guys, it's about wrestling. We could care less about the politics and the bull crap that happens behind the scenes. We just care about wrestling and want to put on the best show possible. We're there all the time before the hometown heroes and get with the last to leave. And we usually drive the farthest, which is very similar with the George South guys. It's essentially the same group, a couple of different guys. Some of the same guys as in both groups, but just essentially the same groups, but with different names. Has the same meaning.
All right, what would you say is your, in your 9 years steady, in your 9 years steady in your career, what would you say is your proudest moment so far in your career?
I don't have a particular proudest moment. It's more of like a proudest accomplishment. The whole fact that a lot of guys had toys and magazines and movies and video games and stuff when you've earned their respect. Because you win your first title, you think, okay, this is great, but, you know, anybody can go out and win a title. But when you go see somebody like Manny Fernandez and he hugs you and he tells Tom Pritchard and Terry Funk and others how great of a kid you are, and then you see Ricky Morton, you're in the dressing room joking, laughing back and forth. You know, it's the respect of the guys that you grew up watching. That's the greatest thing for me. All the other stuff is just extras. But the greatest thing is having the guys I looked up to and was my childhood heroes is respect. That's nothing can compare to that.
Okay, we're talking about the best moment in your career. How about the worst moment in your career? What is the worst or embarrassing moment so far in your career? What would be your worst possible moment?
I hate to say it. That would probably be some of the matches I've had. A lot of guys will tell you quick about all the great matches they've had. I've had good matches, I've had great matches, and I've had a lot of bad matches too. I mean, a lot of people won't touch on that, and sometimes I'm one I really do take it personal. I really want to go out and have the best match possible. You know, my whole goal is to be just a wrestler. I want to be the greatest wrestler ever, and some of the matches I had that I joke about one. It's actually on YouTube. I won't call it the guy's name because I'm hoping he's improved since then. It was a tag match. But it said the highlights from our match, and it just showed me and my tag team partner walking out for interest. That was the highlights of the match somebody had put on YouTube. So that ought to tell you, like, for every good and great match, for every 10 or 9 good matches, every now and again you're going to have one that, regardless of what you do, the match is not going to be that great. That's just the realistic part of it. A lot of people won't acknowledge that, but not every match is going to be great. You know, the most embarrassing thing is probably some of the bad matches because it ain't something you can cover up because there was fans there to see it. So that's probably the most embarrassing. But as long as you try to improve and do better than next time, that's what's most important.
Who would you say your favorite opponent is?
My favorite opponent? I have several, and I'd definitely have to put a lot of the guys, George Train, Cedric, and Caleb Conley, and Jake Manning. But I also have to put some of the guys from Black Scorm in there, who I've wrestled every single one of them. And then guys like Steve Corino and Chris Hamrick and Chase Stevens. Those guys, everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows who Steve Corino and Chase Stevens and Chris Hamrick. They're not the guys that you go out there and some of them that you grew up watching, they have the same match. You go out there and have a match, and you feel like, wait a minute, this guy is pulling me up to his level here. A lot of guys, they won't pull you up to their level. They just keep the match, you know. Steve Corino and Chris Hamrick and Chase Stevens were some of my most fun matches. You know, when it comes to top-tier talent that's known worldwide, but a lot of guys are training with George, like Cedric, Caleb, Jake, Charlie Dreamer, the Dawsons, and then a lot of the Black School Army guys, and Timmy Lou Rett, and I've wrestled him before. He's a great talent. There's a lot of great guys out there. It's just, you know, like I said, independent wrestling is actually in a pretty good state, you know, and at the same time, for everything that's good, there's some bad out there. It depends on the way you look at it. Two sides to the coin. You can look at whichever side you want to look at. I mean, every match could be fun if everything lines up correctly.
Who would you say your toughest?
My toughest match, honestly, would be against George South. And that is mainly because when you go in the match, that's your trainer. You know you got to bring it, but at the same time, you know he's going to bring it. He knows what you know. And at the same time, you don't want to disappoint him. You don't want to disappoint your trainer. So there's never been anybody I've been in there with any tougher than George because the whole mental aspect of him being my trainer. And I've wrestled tons of guys, Barbarian, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Rock and Roll Express, Bobby Eaton, but I got nervous with them, but being in there with the guy that trained me, without a doubt, it's the toughest match I've had because that was more of a mental battle than anything else.
What would your dream match be? Someone from the past or present that you would like to face in the ring that you haven't faced yet?
Sadly, I know if my dream matches that would probably never would happen. You know, against Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, William Regal, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, or Fit Finley. You know, those type of guys, or Dean Malenko, you know. Those are the guys I would love to wrestle. I'd love to even wrestle Jamie Noble or Daniel Bryan, but, like, you know, and at the moment, the closest, if I were to ever get signed, which I hope so, Cesaro is pretty much about the closest remnants of all that I could actually get in the ring with, possibly, because, you know, due to some not being alive and some being retired, you know, some of those dream matches have never happened. But I reckon if Daniel Bryan could come back or Cesaro, those would probably be the closest right at the moment.
If you could pick an era in wrestling, a certain era in wrestling to wrestle in, which one would it be?
I would have to say probably from 84 to 96, because most of my favorites were either in their prime or starting out and starting to hit their stride. But, you know, because a lot of the guys before, you know, late 70s, early 80s, some were good, but like they didn't capture my attention like some other guys. But like from 84 to 96, 97, that to me was like some of the best wrestling ever. Like, everybody likes the Attitude Era. And they talk about, oh, we need to forget PG. People forget that the Attitude Era, it didn't have the greatest wrestling. When you actually watch it, it had a lot of storylines. And the reason Attitude Era worked so well, everybody had a story. And that could, if everybody had something, it didn't matter who it was, it didn't matter if it was the Blue Meanie and feuding with Gold Dust and everything else, it didn't matter if it was Godfather, everyone had a story. And, you know, if they could gel, that's probably what's wrong with wrestling right at the moment. If they could get where everybody's emotionally invested, someone had something, and now is the time that they could do it. They got 3 hours of television. They can blend having the action of in the ring along with everybody having a character, having a story going. Now is the time. It would be easier now than what it was in the Attitude Era. So I feel we're in some interesting times. You know, it could be exciting, but, you know, the wrestling-wise, from 84 to 96, 97 era had top-notch wrestling. But as far as angles, you can't. It's hard to beat some of the stuff from the Attitude Era. But if they're able to combine this, mainstream wrestling will pick up and blow up again. But we're in a time where people like the flash. They like the sizzle. But yet they're clamoring and wanting the steak too. So now you can't bring just one. You have to bring them both. And right now that's Crossroads, apparently, in wrestling, trying to figure out how to get them both now.
So you're into the territory days. What was your favorite territory?
Honestly, probably all of them. I mean, because it's like when people talk about sports, they say, what's your favorite sports team? I'm like, I really don't have a favorite sports team. I got favorite players, you know. It's like when you ask who my favorite wrestler is, I got a ton of them. I respect all the guys for different reasons. But like how I just mentioned Benoit and Eddie Guerrero, and you're like, okay, he likes a technical wrestling. But guess what? I like Stan Hansen and Dr. D. David Schultz. And Bruiser Brody, too, and Vader. You know, I liked Cactus Jack and Raven. So I didn't like a particular style. If I found something that was very intriguing, I mean, wrestling, you know, there's a little bit of something for everyone And, like, if you got my attention, I was going to watch it. It's like I'm no fan of just one particular group or one particular territory. I just loved it all. There's always a little bit of goodness and greatness in everything, and there's some spots, you know, for bad in everything, but, you know, you just watch what you love, and I just love wrestling.
So who is your favorite wrestler of all time?
It would have to be a tie, you know. In my eyes, the greatest four was Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Benoit, and probably Eddie Guerrero. I mean, I liked Flair too, but like for me, Arn Anderson, in my eyes, I always liked Arn Anderson more than Ric Flair. But, you know, it was like Shawn Michaels, Bret, Eddie Guerrero, and Benoit could do it all. That's like people would knock Benoit for his promos, but Benoit had some great promos, but he just kept them short. You know, he kept his intensity in the promos. He didn't go out there, didn't scream. Just that line, "Prove me wrong," was enough. That told you what Benoit was all about. And, you know, Bret Hart, some of his best promos, he had the United States against him, but every other country in the world loved him, you know, after he had been a face for so long. Shawn Michaels, you know how he is. Everybody knows how great of a wrestler he is. They didn't call him Mr. WrestleMania for nothing. You know, and then Eddie Guerrero, there was nothing he couldn't do. So those four in my eyes was probably the greatest of all time.
What would you say is your favorite city? Who has the best crowds?
It's hard to tell. I mean, like, some of these small towns that people don't know much about are often some of the best towns. Like, there's a town in called Pelham, North Carolina, which is like 10 miles from Danville, Virginia. Small building. It's jam-packed every month. That crowd is brutal. I mean, they will get on your case, and I love it. And then, like, some AML crowds, there's two different crowds AML. When we was a filming at Johnny and June's, that was one particular crowd. They were very vocal. They knew their wrestling. And then there was a crowd at the High Point area where we filmed the shows at High Point. They were like your old traditional crowd. They loved wrestling, but they were a different crowd. And then you go somewhere like Kings Mountain. Who's your regular crowd? A lot of fans there that are familiar with the people in that area, but I might not wrestle in Kings Mountain, but maybe twice a year because I'm always booked somewhere else on that day. But they remember me when I go back, and the time they see me walk out the curtain, they're already booing me. They already hate my guts and cussing me out. And all I did was walk out the curtain, hadn't said nothing or done nothing yet, hadn't walked a foot out. There's always good crowds, and then like even some crowds, it's not even your traditional wrestling crowds. Go to a bar, like they're from Fort Bragg, that we wrestled at a place called the Rock Shop. I mean, it wasn't a wrestling crowd. It was a bar show, but the crowds become wrestling fans that night and got into it. I mean, there's great crowds everywhere if you put on a great product. It'll give them a reason to be a excited and energetic crowd. I mean, there's never no such thing as a bad crowd. You know, you've just got to maybe work a little harder to get the crowd into it. It's never a bad crowd. It's our job as performers to give the crowd something to get excited about.
All right, so tell us about your next few appearances.
Saturday, I'm in High Volume, which is Snow Hill. And then I got some buddies that's also having different shows. Like in Drexel, George South will be there Saturday. In Drexel, R.O. plays him, Shane Williams, Elliot Russell. And then in Elizabethtown that same night, like Saturday night, big night for wrestling, Rodney North is running Operation Save Foundation with Border Walker, Hardcore Holly, and Zane Dawson. And then Let's see, January 6th, I'm back in West Virginia, championship wrestling in Princeton, me and a lot of the Black School Army guys. And then that next day, which will be January 3rd, a Sunday, I'll be in Carolina Wrestling Showcase in Asheboro with Caprice Coleman and Timmy Retton and Ricky Reyes. I mean, you know, this year's about to come to a close, but next year is looking exciting for the Carolinas and independent wrestling in general. I mean, everybody used to talk about the Pennsylvania and New Jersey area, but I think the Carolinas is coming out showing why even in the Crockett days, Carolinas was a force to be reckoned with when it comes to wrestling. So somebody's looking for
a good show. There's no doubt North Carolina is a hotbed for wrestling right now. It is just North Carolina wrestling is on fire.
Yes, they are. I mean, and like we all know about AML and PWX and CWF, but like, there's a bunch of smaller groups that's popping up and starting to grow, like high-volume pro wrestling. I mean, a lot of the same guys that's at PWX and AML and CWF go to high-volume also. And then, like, Operation Save Foundation, that's going to be in Elizabethtown Saturday night, they have a lot of top guys there as well as from this area. And famous guys like Hardcore Holly and, you know, Moose will be there also. But North Carolina's swinging now. It's swinging hard for the fences, trying to make a mark. There's no reason nobody should be sitting home on Saturday night wondering if there's any good wrestling around, because there's good wrestling all over the place right at the moment.
So are you booked in Elizabethtown this Saturday?
No, that's, I got a few friends there, but this Saturday is Snow Hill for high volume pro wrestling. What I'm just saying is like you got three great shows already in different areas on Saturday, so. But I'll be in Snow Hill for high volume pro wrestling.
Okay, I was getting ready to say, because I'll be in Elizabethtown this Saturday, so I'll be there for that show. Okay, Baron, well, hey, thanks for coming on the show, and it was a good talk.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Baron Bullard, our guest tonight here on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio. We'll see you tomorrow night.